East Coast. East Coast
Breakfast. Stuart Berry, head of Impi Concerts and Splash Fan Festival 2019. Welcome back to East Coast Radio. How's it, man?
Thanks, Darren. Yeah, good to be here.
Okay,
let's go.
How's it?
Listen, congratulations on the success of Splashy Fan. You're just rocking that, man. Splashy's now, what, 30 years this year?
30 years this year, so it's a special year for us. And it's the fourth year that we're in charge as a company. And it's been challenging and stressful, but hugely rewarding.
Stu, last year when you came onto the show, you spoke about the direction of Splashy Fan, that you're bringing like that family vibe back. Because there was a time when Splashy was kind of seen as like a and you had to be dirty and drunk and full of mud.
And wear gumboots.
And now you've moved in the more family direction, family-friendly direction. Did you manage to achieve that, do you think, last year? And is this where we're still going this year?
Yeah, I think so. And I think our biggest aim is to appeal to everyone. So we don't want to be exclusive to one demographic. We don't want to be exclusive to one age category. I think the element that had been lost was the family element, and that's certainly been brought back. Last year, our average age of ticket sales was 34.
Sure.
At the moment, it's 37. So we're certainly attracting that family who used to spend Easter holiday somewhere else are now saying, well, Splashy is actually a great place to go and spend the time with the whole family.
I feel like everyone in KZN, you can't call yourself a KZNer if you haven't been to Splashy Fin. Now, for the first timers, what message do you have for them?
So I think the big thing we've tried to challenge is the perception of Splashy over the last 4 or 5 years. And we always knew that someone coming and experiencing Splashy was the easiest way to change that actual perception. And I think that's certainly taken place in the last 4 years. So for someone who's new, it's certainly not about being dressed in overalls and walking around in mud. We bring in around 15 to 20 tons worth of wood chips to lay onto walkways so that when it does rain, we don't have the effect of mud. We've got glamping facilities, which are basically a tented hotel on site.
Those are
quite fun and quite good. So we've really made it without losing the authenticity of this natural camping experience away from most of commercial city experiences. We've made it authentic and comfortable enough that people can really have a great time who are really not into roughing it up as such.
So tell us a little bit about this year. How many stages do you have? How are they set up? What's the experience going to be like?
So we've got 5 different stages: the river stage, the acoustic stage, the triage stage, the main stage, and what we call the electric boma. And I think our main focus is around ensuring that we've got people with instruments playing music. We have the electric boma, which is a dance area which operates a little bit later at night, but the rest of our stages are focused around people with instruments playing music and wherever possible original music. Our river stage has really become popular in the last few years. We start that off in the morning with yoga, trail runs from there, and then we move into a whole Corona setup, which is a real authentic sort of CSI project around ensuring that there's an educational part around plastic and rivers and how that ends up in the oceans. So there's a real greening element to Splashy as well, and that's focused around our Corona River stage.
So, Chief, when you say river stage, is it on the banks or in
no,
in
you're not in the river, Sky.
Okay.
There's a bridge even over the river with the option of getting in the water if you like, good sir.
Okay.
And you can fish if you want.
Right.
And then, Stu, last year, I mean, every year you bring some sort of big international act. And this year we had the lineup announcement at S43, and I could, like, the eyes, everyone's eyes when they heard this name, Wheatus.
Yeah.
And they're going to be playing live. They're one of the headliners, or the headliner for Splashy Fan 2019.
Correct.
How did you decide on Wheatus? How did you hook that up?
So I actually ended up seeing, I was on business in Dublin, and I saw Wheatus at a small little venue in Dublin. And just having seen them live, I think, is always the big litmus test as to whether they can work at a festival that you operate, because you know the culture and the ethos. And after having seen them live, it was a no-brainer for us. It was the nostalgic old school, but they were really good musicians. There's 7 of them on stage. They're not punk rockers that jump up and down and just make a noise. They're really good musically. And obviously they've got traction in South Africa. They've had 2 number one hits with Teenage Dirtbag and A Little Respect, and the rest of their 3-4 albums are superb. So it was an easy choice for us.
So do you think even if you don't know the rest of their music, it's still going to be something that you can sit and really enjoy? Because you know, some people, they don't want to go and watch a band they don't know, because you want to know the words, you want to know the songs. So you're saying their performance enough?
The performance is great, and I think that's what's so great about Splashy as a whole, is it's not about one act. It's not about Wheatus being a headline act. It's not about Jeremy Loops being a headline act. It's about the fact that we've got 380 musicians over 5 stages across 4 days.
So as you can hear, Kerry Miller is getting rather excited talking about Splashy Fan. Just quickly, Stu, I know Kerry Miller was at Splash FM last year. I think she was doing some emceeing
there.
Yeah,
she emceed.
Just a bit of a report back, just on the behavior over the 4 days.
Relatively good.
Mm-hmm.
I say relatively in perspective. I think she did disappear for about 12 to 14 hours.
Okay.
No one could find her, but rumor has it she was just recovering in her glamping tent.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll keep that
recovering. Okay, quickly, are there still tickets available?
Yeah, so we have had an unprecedented demand for tickets. We've sold just under 6,000 at the moment of the 8,000 that are available. So we're 75% sold out. Same time last year, we were on 2,500 sales. So I suppose our message is, if you normally wait till that last week, do that at your own peril at the moment. There is a very good chance that Splashy will not sell it.
And the family campsite, is it sold out?
So we introduced something new this year, which was a powered campsite. That is sold out, and that was sold out a month ago. The family campsite itself, we've doubled in size. And that operates as a first-come, first-serve on-site, but it's now got double capacity because of the demand from a family perspective.
And just to clarify, the family campsite, this is something that it's far enough away from the music that you can get a good night's sleep, and it's kind of separated from everyone else?
It's focused on making sure that like-minded people spend time with like-minded people.
Okay.
So it's fenced off. We control the alcohol in and out. It's a more family friendly environment for people to feel more comfortable.
Sorry, you only do like higher grade stuff. You don't do Sky's games.
I'm sorry, I played at the park. I'm high grade.
I'd love to ref Sky because I hear he's very good at quick taps.
And you're a comedian.
Tap and go. All right. So if you were to pick a favorite for this year's Super Rugby, who would it be?
It's tough. I think, for the first time last weekend or the weekend before, the three of the New Zealand teams lost. I think what's unique about a World Cup year is it's totally different setup. Everything changes in a World Cup year. You've got All Blacks that are being rested. You've got Springboks later in the season that are going to be rested. So it's a totally different dynamic. Mm. So I would expect there to be some surprises in the quarters and the finals. I think New Zealanders, purely because of the travel dynamics of the tournament, have probably got a better chance of getting through to the playoffs.
Mm.
But I really like the balance and the look of the Bulls at the moment. I think they've got a superb team together, but I really like the look and certainly what Dwayne Vermeulen has brought to that team. Obviously, there's Lurt Diaga being injured is a big blow for them at the moment, but they've got some really good big locks, which is what the Bulls rugby is based around. So I think there's some good things happening in Pretoria at the moment.
So Stu, obviously you ventured into refereeing in the Northern Hemisphere now.
Mm.
Can you now support a local franchise?
I must be honest, I can, but I don't really, because I don't actually have that emotional attachment to a game. Because as a referee, I think, having been involved for such a long time, and you watch the game very differently, you're not at any stage attached to the emotional outcome. You're attached to the emotion of the game and how good the rugby is.
But it would be great for the Sharks to win Super Rugby,
It would be great for a South African team to win Super Rugby.
But I mean, you're talking about three New Zealand teams losing last weekend. Mm. Who would have thunk Damian McKenzie, Chiefs, would have lost to Sunwolves?
Yeah.
I would never have seen that.
And it's great for rugby, particularly in a World Cup year where Japan are hosting it.
Yeah.
And I can speak so highly of the rugby experience in Japan. I had my test debut there, Japan, New Zealand, back in 2013. And to this day, still one of the most respectful nations and wonderful rugby cultures I've ever experienced in my life. And, I've got no doubt that this World Cup is going to be an absolutely memorable one for the fans.
Also, Japan have beaten the Springboks. Let us not forget.
Yes, that dear day.
Remind us about that.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
We'll see you at Splashy.
Look forward to it.